The scripture reading this morning will be from Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves, anyone is obedient as slaves? You are slaves of the one who you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart of the standard of teaching which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Sure good to see such a good audience of people this morning with us, and we pray that this same group will be able to be with us tonight at 6 o'clock as well. I don't know how many of you were approached this morning when you came into the building with a very common question that is asked when people see you either for the first time in maybe a few days or maybe a few weeks or maybe even since yesterday. But I'm sure that there's a good possibility in the conversation that you have this person, there's this question that is commonly asked, well, how do you feel? How do you feel? Especially if you've been sick for a while or you have been absent for some surgery or whatever the case may be, somebody comes up to you and says, well, how do you feel? How do you feel? And that's a very, very common question that is asked by a lot of people about how do you feel. It's not how, what do you believe or who do you obey or what do you obey? It's the question is, how do you feel? And when the question is asked, how do you feel? Well, in some subjects, people say, well, how do you feel about politics? How do you feel about sports? How do you feel about morality? How do you feel about whatever subject you want to bring up? There's a tendency for us to say or ask the question, how do you feel about that? And I've had several people ask me, how do you feel about this subject? It's not, they don't ask me, what do you believe about this, or how do you believe it, or what do you practice, or how do you obey? They said, how do you feel about that? Well, there's another question that is also asked a lot of times about people's feelings, and that is, how do I know what God's will is for my life? And how am I supposed to determine what God's will is for my life? And with that question, there's also the tendency to look at it as a question where the answer to it is, how do you feel? How do you feel about what God's will is for your life? And the conclusion sometimes is, whatever God's will is for your life, it's determined by how you feel. Take the word will out of it. It's not necessarily God's will for you. It's how you feel about what you think God wants you to do. And that's a very interesting thing, that people will determine what their life is, what their future is, what the direction is, how they're to be guided by their feelings. We have a lot of that going on in our world today. A lot of that's happening. Well, let me just mention something to you. Let me make some observations here about that. If feelings are a priority, if they are primary, in other words, if that is the most important and crucial part of your direction, your guidance, what you even think in whatever subject may be, then everything that's objective, every particular standard, rule, any kind of definite pattern that is there regarding worship, regarding the church name, regarding the church work, regarding salvation, whatever the subject may be, just throw that out the door. Just throw out every objective matter of truth and throw it away. If the idea of feelings is the priority and the primary thought that you need to have. And it goes right along with people's thinking, or I might say their feelings, because they come up and say, well, I feel this way about my salvation, or I feel that I'm saved. I feel that this is what God wants. I feel that this is what I should do. And I feel that this is what God loves for us to do. I feel like, in other words, every statement that they refer to a particular subject about their life, they say, I feel. Nothing about belief. Nothing about obedience. It's all about how I feel. Therefore, the idea is feelings are what determine our actions. Feelings are the very things that really control what we're doing. Feelings are definitely something that will dictate whether or not we're going to be happy, whether or not we're going to be hateful, whether we're going to be sulking, whether we're going to be indulging, whether we're going to be lustful, whether we're going to be married, whether we're not going to be married. Everything's about the feelings. If that is the most important thing, if that's priority, that's primary, that's what needs to be considered, then throw out everything regarding the objective truth. In other words, just take your Bible, close it, and just go on about your life, and how you feel about it is the most important thing to consider. When you look, though, here's the thing about it. When you look at the objective truth regarding this thought about feelings, you come up with a whole new, different understanding. First of all, when you look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, this is what it says. The way of a fool is in his own eyes, but he that hearkens to the counsel is wise. Chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, and then the end thereof is the way of death. Every way, chapter 21, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. Everything about what I'm just referring to you in those particular passages in Proverbs indicate it's a direction of your feelings. It doesn't use the word feelings, but it's a direction of your own way. If that's priority, if that's primary, then you'll notice the explicit way of which God says, you don't depend upon that. You don't look at that as the ultimate main resource of why you're doing what you're doing. Look at this example in the book of Acts chapter 26. And you'll notice very clearly what happens in the case with, and this is this man's personal example of life, and he demonstrates this and says, this is Paul saying, I verily thought, this is verse 1, verse 9 of chapter 26 of Acts, I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. If you take the word thought out of there and insert the word feelings, the same conclusion would be there. And this also did in Jerusalem, and both shut up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my vote against them. How I felt about this is what I used to determine what my actions were. And he says, I found out that that's not what your basis should be about what you're doing. I crucified Jesus Christ. I led to death many of the people that followed you. You don't go by the feelings. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 says, it's not a man that walks to direct his steps. So therefore, the feelings should not necessarily be the priority and the primary way of your direction. Yet, please know, our verbiage of the way we state things comes about to say, I feel this. Or you ask people, how do you feel about that? It's not about the feelings. It's about what we're going to talk about in just a moment. If it is about the feelings, let's just say you're in a car. And I'll tell you what, there are some vehicles that are you driving today that cruise down the road so smoothly, you have no idea how fast you're going. If you're in the vehicle and it's just cruising down the road and the pavement is smooth and the ride is so great, and you don't have it on cruise, but you're just going down the road, and all of a sudden there are these blue lights that start flashing behind you, and the siren comes on, and you pull over, and the policeman comes up there to your window. It comes down, and you ask him, well, what's the problem? And he says, well, you were going 50 in a 35 mile zone, and you say to him, well, it just felt like I was going 35. Now, if you say, I just felt like I'm 35, and he says, well, let me show you what you were doing. In other words, let me show you the objective standard and the pattern by which we determine whether or not you're going over the speed limit. It's this little speed gun that I've got back here. It's this little determination that shows exactly how fast you're going. Therefore, you throw out the feelings, and then when that little piece of paper comes that you've got to sign it, and it's a ticket that you have to pay the fine, then you know that you're really out of sorts here. And you know, the feelings cannot be determined. They are not the priority, and they are not the primary source of what you do. It's very important to know that that's very, very true. As a citizen of the world in which we're living in, this community in which we're living in, one thing for sure, though, is that there are people, and you may have been one of those people, who have come along to think that even though the idea and the parties are there, you come to say that this is what you believe. You don't say it that way. You just say, this is what I feel. But is it more important to know how you feel than it is to know about what you believe about it? In our day and time, yes. It's important, more important about how you feel about that. But there are some people, when you ask them, and I think this is very interesting in a conversation that you have people, when you ask them, what do you feel about this? They say, I don't know how I feel about that. What? You don't know how you feel about that? Surely you've got some opinion about that. Surely you've got some opinion. Well, I don't know. I just don't have any particular feelings toward that. Therefore, there is something suspicious about our feelings. If we can't determine how we feel about it, and we come and say, well, I just don't know how I feel about it, then how in the world can those feelings be the determinant for what the will of God is? It can't be. There's no possibility of that happening when we have some times where we say, well, I just don't know how I feel about that. Now, I may ask you, and I ask you, well, how do you feel about that? And you say, well, I don't know how I feel about that. And then we'll say, well, what are you going to do when something like that happens? What are you going to do when it's decision time? What are you going to do when you got to make the choice? Well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to feel about that. Therefore, you can't use the feelings to determine what you're supposed to be doing. Now, how are we going to do what we need to remove this misunderstanding about the feelings? What are we going to do about that? Well, let me give you an example. At our house, there are places in our house that are absolutely, in the middle of the night, absolutely dark. I mean, it is pitch black. There have been times when I would get up in the middle of the night, go to a particular room in the house, the bathroom, and I would feel my way around the bed, touch the bed as I go, and try to find the wall. See, I've been in that house for 8 years now. You would think I would know everything about it, but yet I still have the tendency to start feeling around to see from the bed and see if I can touch the wall, because you don't want to crown your head into the molding of the door facing. That's not good. Nor do you want to find yourself stubbing your foot on some particular chair or stool or bench or whatever that's at the end of the bed or some other place that you forgot it was there. And I don't want to wake Diane up out of a major, major sleep that she's in. So therefore, I'm going to feel my way through this and make sure I get to my destination. I do know one thing about this. I can remove this misunderstanding about the feelings if I just did one thing. Turn on the light. Turn on the light because it enables me to see everything that needs to be done and what needs to be done and what direction I need to go in and to avoid all the mishaps and the possible mistakes. To remove this idea of feelings is one very simple thing. It's the one thing that makes life matter the most, and that's obey God. Obey God. Obeying God is so important. Now, in order to keep you from misunderstanding what I'm saying, please know this, and this is the second point here. Understand religion without feeling and emotion is empty. You've got so many scriptures that talk about zeal and joy and passion and desire and thirst and hunger. All those passages just bring out the idea that there's got to be something about inside you that brings you to the point of doing this. And these things about passion and zeal and thirst and hunger, are coming from within that causes you, by the Spirit of God, to do what you need to do, to walk in the light. Walk in the way that needs to be followed. Watch this. Go back and let's read what Tristan read a little bit ago in the book of Romans chapter 6. I want you to notice something. There's two words that are here that are in Romans chapter 6 that need to be understood. One is, when you read what he says in verse 17, but thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. He does not say, let your feelings determine your salvation. He doesn't say that. He does use the word heart there. And in the same sentence, he uses the word obedience. Thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart. You obeyed from the heart. Not that the feelings, or not that your heart was the determining factor. Whatever you felt in it brought you to the point of salvation. Say, I got to get rid of this sin, and now I'm going to be saved. I'm going to do better. I'm going to make my life much more improved than what it was. It is the standard by which you follow in the heart that brings you to the point of being delivered, verse 17, and then to the point of being a servant of righteousness. It brings you out of the darkness of sin. It brings you into the light and shows you the truth that you should be going. Those people in the book of 2 John, verse 9 and verse 11, that don't want to follow this, they don't have God. Jesus talked about in John the 12th chapter, verse 48, he says, this is going to be the standard by which I'm going to be judging you. It's not how you feel about it that's going to determine whether or not you're going to go to hell or go to heaven. He says it's going to be the will of God that's found within the Scripture. In light of the doctrine that has been revealed, he says, this is what's going to be the determining factor of your salvation. Not how you feel about it. Let me just, for the remaining time that we've got this morning, I want to talk to you about three things that seem to be subjects that have been, the idea of feelings has really been the focal point about this. And this has to do with this right here, about the feelings, about what we have as what we do. Faith, to many people, is a feeling. It's synonymous with the idea of what we feel. Whatever, we don't say, this is what I believe. In many sense, we just say, I feel I'm saved, or I feel this is what God wants. And as a result, that feeling leads you to the point of saying, okay, this is what I'm really believing. This is what I really believe. The only similarities between these two words, faith and feeling, is the first letter. That's it. When you look through the Scripture, faith is what justifies us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. That faith, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Which the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 5, is when you read it, then you can perceive by understanding in the mystery of Christ. That's where the actual ability to know what God's will is for your life should be. Makes complete sense. Therefore, here's the interesting thing. If I come up, if you ask me how I feel about my salvation, I say, well, I don't really know about that. It's been so long ago. As if to say I'm supposed to recall how I felt when I became a Christian. Then therefore, you see, the feelings are just, but if I believe, then I truly know whether or not I'm saved. When you look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, this is the thing that he mentions about your faith. He says something about trying it, testing it. And this is the way he says it. Try your own selves, whether you're in the faith, prove your own self. Now we could insert the idea of feelings and say, well, you need to try yourselves whether you're following the faith or following the feelings. Prove it. Just prove it. He doesn't say try your feelings to see if they're conducive to what God would want you to do in the direction. He says, follow the faith, whether you're in the faith. Try it that way. Because that's objective. There are some people that when they go over to the book of Philippians chapter 2, And it mentions these words in verse 12, so my beloved brethren, even as you've also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a tendency sometimes to take that last phrase, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and just believe, you just feel your way through this. Well, however you feel it, it's personal with you, so however you feel about it, that's what's important. But we forget about verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That throws the feelings out. That removes how you feel. And it inserts the will of God to determine the work you should be doing and that which leads to his pleasure, not yours. If it was all about your pleasure, it would be based upon feelings. But if it's all about God's pleasure, that makes all the difference in the world. What verse 13 is doing, it's removing the feelings, putting in the faith, and saying, this is determined by the will of God, and says, okay, this is what you should be doing. If it were the feelings, then it would all be more of a me religion. Yet the idea of me religion and the feelings have already been dismissed and put aside in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, when he says, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. All the feelings go away. You just throw that down. And you pick up the truth and you continue to follow it. There are some people that have the tendency to look at this idea of faith and equate it with feelings. And the same thing's true when it comes down to love. Love is to them just a feeling. If you were to look at the book of Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 through verse 6, I want you to notice that in this question that is asked by the Pharisees about, is it lawful to put a man away, for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And the answer that Jesus gives in verse 4 through verse 6 comes from the beginning. And in this, there is no indication that the love has anything to do with the feeling. However, the idea of marriage, in the eyes of most people, has to do with the idea of how I feel about this person and how they feel about me. Therefore, the question is, in the middle of a dating process, and you're talking to this boy, you're talking to this girl, you ask them, well, how do you feel about whatever his name is, or how do you feel about whatever her name is? How do you feel about them? That's normally what we ask. Well, how do you feel about them? So therefore, we have almost initiated the idea that their relationship is going to be based on how they feel and has, in many cases, not to do anything with love, or that the idea of loving them is equal with the idea of feeling. In the book of Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 to verse 6, he is talking about covenant. He's talking about cleaving. He's talking about leaving. He's talking about joining. He's talking about a covenant that is a committed, devoted thing that will last a long, long time, and no one will put it asunder. How significant is that? If love equals feelings, and you ask that person, how do you feel about them, and their relationship is totally based on the feeling, and they get married based upon the feeling, and as soon as the feeling just walks right out the door, and it just floats out the window, then all of a sudden you've got people who say, well, I just don't have any feelings for him anymore. I don't have any feelings for him anymore. What? Your marriage is based upon the feeling. Therefore, the length of your marriage, if it's based upon the feelings, you're not going to be very, very long. Let's just put it that way. But in the book of Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 to verse 6, he doesn't talk about that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, he said, let your yea be yea and nay, nay. It's a matter of commitment and devotion to what you said you would do, promises. In other words, love promises, and love fulfills promises, and love commits themselves to promises. Feelings only do it because either they get something out of it, or at least it makes the other person feel okay. And as long as we've got this thing going on, we say feelings, between each other, then that's how long this relationship will last. When you look in the book of 1 Corinthians 13, this is absolutely amazing to me. That when you look at verse 1 to verse 3, the ideal relationships that people have based upon love as a feeling, if it were based upon, okay, we know the duties of marriage, okay? We have romance. We have good times. We have bad times. I am the provider of the home. My wife manages the home. If we put all those words of what we would consider are the key ingredients to marriage in verse 1 to verse 3, just like they do, well, if you speak in the tongues, you have the gift of prophecy, you do all these, then he says, that's not what love is. All the duties and responsibilities that go with it, that's not necessarily all that there is to love. If you take love away from all those three things he mentioned in verse 1 to verse 3, you don't have anything. It profits nothing. But in verse 4, he introduces the love. It is kind. It is patient. It envies not. And on down the line, to where he gets to the point that in verse 8, the first part he says, love never faileth. In other words, feelings are limited on their endurance. They only last so long. The love continues and it never, ever quits. Therefore, love and faith are not equal. Now, they have some similar qualities about them, but when you look at what goes on here, he says love never fails. It never quits. Therefore, if the feelings go, love just keeps on going. And we're in this for the long haul. And that's what Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 to verse 6 is about. Let me give you something to think about here. If love is a feeling, then look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, where this church at Ephesus, back in verse 4, as he is mentioning these things that they were doing in their works in verse 2 and verse 3, says, I have this against thee, that thou didst leave thy first love. If love equals feelings, it would be this. I see you don't feel like being a Christian anymore. I see you don't feel like being the church anymore. I see that you have left how you felt about what you should be doing. He mentions in verse 5, remember therefore whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. He doesn't say you need to get this feeling back again. You need to get this feeling of wanting to do what God wants you to do. He says you need to get the first love back, which brings you to the point of doing the first works. Love is not just a feeling. And then there's the third one. There's a tendency sometimes to look at the idea of forgiveness and that becoming to be just a feeling. Do you know how significant it is to say that and to think that love is a feeling? Forgiveness is a feeling. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. This list that is mentioned in verse 31, anger, wrath, bitterness, clamor, railing, all that he says to be put away. If you don't go to verse 32, let's go to verse 32. It says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. If you had in the heart of an individual, verse 31, and then you come up with this command in verse 32, they will say, I don't feel like doing that. I just don't feel like forgiving them. I don't feel like it's my place. After all, in other words, all this bitterness and clamor and railing and all these things that's going on in your heart and your life and demonstrated what, and you don't feel like forgiving, then, okay. You don't feel like forgiving. Just don't do it. If you don't feel like it, don't do it. Therefore, mercy or forgiveness cannot equate the idea of feelings. if it were only based upon the feelings, then we would not obey God in verse 32. And I must tell you this, let's go deeper than that. God, if it was all about the feelings, he would say, well, I don't feel like forgiving those people. As much as they've hurt me, and as many times as they've hurt me. And we've got a mountain of things that we've asked God to forgive us compared to the little molehill of which we need to forgive somebody else. Pretty significant, isn't it? And even though, and when you talk about this idea of forgiveness, look at Matthew chapter 18. Here is Peter coming up to Jesus and says, well, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Well, depends on how you feel. If you don't feel like doing it, then don't bother with it. Just walk away, forget about it. Because I'm sure they're going to forget about it too. They're going to forget about what you've done. He doesn't say that. He says, should I do it until seven times? Jesus said to him, I say to you, to thee, not until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, seven seems to be pretty generous, doesn't it? Pretty generous number. I think that's very generous. But he goes beyond that and says, you can't let your feelings determine the number of times of which you will forgive. Because sometimes forgiveness has a limit to say, I will only do it 3 times, 4 times, 10 times. There is a story of a man several years ago who was in partnership with another individual. The man was a Christian. The other individual of which this man was in partnership with could not really control his spending and would not really see how important it was to budget his own personal life, much less what part he had in the business. And it came up one day that he was going to have to file bankruptcy. As a result of that, the partnership really went through some really tough times, and then here he draws out, he pulls out. And here's the man that's a Christian holding, as what he was told by the legal people, he had 10 boxes of bad debts and problems with his financial situation that his partner was in. He was advised by the legal people, you cannot remove these documents. You cannot get rid of them at all. Only on January the 1st of the coming year can you get rid of the last one, the one that would happen 10 years ago. Now this guy, if the feelings were really prominent, he said, well, I don't care anything about this guy. I don't care anything about forgiving him. But that was not his attitude. His attitude was toward forgiving him. And as a result, I want to tell you something. Every year for 10 years, he forgave that man by burning a box of the debt that that man incurred in the business. Now this man goes beyond what Peter was talking about here in the book of Matthew chapter 18. However, that's not the point. It's not the number. And it's not about the things. It's about obeying what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says. Therefore, the thing about life that matters is that forgiveness is obedience, not feelings. I've had people that have mocked me, that have really criticized my preaching a lot of times when I would leave a building, and they'd leave before I left, and they'd walk by me and speak very negative things about what I said and not agree at all. And I've had people that, when it came down to teaching them, having a Bible class, they refuse us. They wouldn't want to do it. Had couples try to help guide them in their marriage, lead them. They refused the help. They knew they were in trouble. They just refused it. If it was based upon the feelings, it was truly based upon the feelings that I had, and that was most important, then I forget all about the mercy. I forget all about the love. I forget all about the faith. I just say it's based upon my feelings. And I would say, I don't feel too good about them. I just don't feel too good about them. But it was not about the feelings. It was about obedience to God. So therefore, here's the conclusion. The idea is forgiveness will obey God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to verse 15. It is very explicit there when he says that your forgiveness is determined by what you will do. Your forgiveness from God will be determined by what you will do. Then the idea of love will obey God. Love doesn't feel. Forgiveness will not feel. Love will obey God. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then verse 21 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, then we will come and abide in you, and you in us. And then the third thing is, faith will obey God. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you don't feel like doing what God wants you to do, you won't do it. But obedience is doing what God asks of you to do. And you put all those things together, and here's what you've got. Obedience is an enduring and living by faith in the Son of God. I crucified myself, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Obedience. The greatest thing in life that will matter is that you'll obey God and not your feelings. Now, some of you probably, if you're not a Christian, may not feel like being a Christian today. But if you look at it from the standpoint of what God wants you to do, it's not about your feelings. It's about obedience. Those people in the book of Acts, the second chapter, were not approached and said, well, I know you crucified Jesus, but, and you may not feel too good about what I'm about to tell you, but you're in sin. And they could have gone away and said, well, that man didn't make me feel too good. And probably not. But for about 3,000 of those souls, it was not about feelings. It was about repentance and obedience. And having my sins washed away in baptism. That was the most significant decision those people would have ever made. That's why this is what matters in life. Please do what those people did in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Do what's right. Well, together we sing this song.